Okay, today's daf is Kuf, and we, as usual, are a little bit behind, so we have to finish Tzadik Tes Amud Beis from the beginning of the Gemara. So we talked about when you had a woman whose son got mixed up with her daughter-in-law's son. So then the expression the Mishnah used was that if there were other brothers who knew who their mother was, yeah, and they died, etc. So then there's, depending on which side of it, when there's a chashash of that it could be the uncle's wife, then you can't do Yibam, obviously, and when there's no problem, then you could. But the expression the Mishnah used was Mesu HaKsherim. So it calls them Ksherim. So the question is, what's this Ksherim business? They're all Ksherim, you just don't know they don't know which one they are, they're mixed up, but there's no one who's Mamzerim in there. So the Gemara asks, Alahanach Mishum de Yarev Lahu Havalu Psulin. The opposite of ksherim is psulim. What does that mean? That it's implying that the ones, just because they don't know which one they are, that they're apostle. They're not apostle. They just don't know who they are. Is Amar Papa? You're right. Emo mesu havadoyim. The opposite here should be the sveikim and the vadoyim, the ones who don't know who their parents are and the ones who do. But they're all kosher. There's no mamzerim or anything going on over here. Okay, so we said in the Mishnah yesterday that if these taruvas grew up and got married, then they can do so for the wife of the vadoyin, the brothers who were definitely knew who their parents were. Yeah, so then. What happens? What do these taruvas do? What do they do when it comes to when those people got married and died? So we said that for the lower generation, because there's no problem of that you might end up with an aunt, therefore, but says the Gemara, as the Gemara always says this in almost every case where it talks about echad chilat ve'echad miyabim, dafka mechlatz v'hodi yevumi. Whenever we say that there's two brothers, they don't know what's going on, so one does chalitza and then the other one can do yibum, it's always you have to do the chalitza first. In that specific order. Of yevumi b'reish aloi, but you can't have one doing yibum first without the chalitza, the kapoga b'vam al-shrub, because if he gets the wrong one, and it was the other one's sister-in-law, he's got... Yeah, that's right, it's logical. It's just pointing it out that the order is dafki, otherwise you would end up with the Yivam Lashuk. Okay, then we had the case in the Mishnah of the Kehenesh and Isariv. You had a woman who was the wife of a Kohen, and her baby got mixed up with the Eved, with the son of the Shivcha. Yeah, so you have two babies now. One is a Kohen, and one is the Eved of a Kohen. So they're both allowed to eat Truma. We had a whole lot of details about what happens there. So one of the things that it said is that they only get one chelik of truma. So the Gemara says, chelik echa pshita, of course they only get one chelik. There's only one koyin there. One's a koyin, the other one's an evid. So why would you think that they get any more than one chelik? Yeah? So the Gemara says, ema, what it means to say is chelik ki echa, that they have to come together. If each one of them, if they come separately and ask for truma, you don't give them. They have to come together. If they come together, then you've got the koyin definitely there, then you give him. Why is it so? Because Tanan, our Mishnah is going according to Kamanda Omar, Ein Cholkin Truma Le'Eved Elim Kein Rabba Imoy. That when an Eved, even if it's an Eved of a Kohen, is allowed to eat Truma, but you don't actually give it out to him unless his master is with him. Why? Because if you give it to the Eved by himself, people watching will think that he's a Kohen. And then you could later on have problems with yichus with a koyin. The Tanya, as we learned in a brisa, we have a machlokes. Ein chokin truma le'eved elim kein rabba ima div Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says you're not allowed to give truma to the eved unless the master is with him. So then we would see why is the master with him? He must be the eved, and he's the master, and no one will get mixed up. Rabbi Yosi yemer yochol sheyemer. He says in this case of this taruvus. You could say, "Im koyin ani tinuli bishvil atzmi." If I'm the koyin, then you give me because I'm a koyin. But im eved koyin ani, and if I'm not a koyin, that means I'm an eved of a koyin. It's tinuli bishvil rabbi. Then give me truma on behalf of my master, and I'm allowed to eat it. So the Rishi says you're allowed to give it to the eved, even if the master's not there. Why is it so? Because b'mkoymos Rabbi Yehuda hayumale mitrumu leyuchsin. In Rabbi Yehuda's place, the custom was that they would accept as evidence. If a person wants to prove he's a koyin, then they would accept as evidence that he can prove that he got truma in the Beis HaGoyrim. Yeah, because that's considered valid evidence. You have to make sure that when you give the truma in the Beis HaKoyin, in the Beis HaGoyrim, you're only giving it to koyanim. Yeah, so therefore that goes together. In Rabbi Yossi's place, they wouldn't take as evidence for the fact that somebody got truma that he was a koyin, and therefore you could give the evid without the koyin being around, because anyway he couldn't use that as evidence that he's a koyin, and therefore there's no chance that you'll mistakenly appoint someone koyin when he's not.
Would this apply to the evid of a levi if he comes to collect the mesa? You would think that this. Would you think this avid is a levy?
And what happens if he's a levy? What if you mistakenly think someone's a levy and he's not, he gets an extra liya? Yehuda would be all over that. Yeah, well, if you think someone's a koyan, then there's problems because he wants to claim all of the benefits of being a koyan. What's the benefit of being a levy? He can eat meiser. If he's not a levy, he can eat meiser also. So I don't think that the Gemara talks anywhere about Malin Mitruma Mimaiser Lelevia. This whole sugya is the main place of this sugya, I believe, is in Ksubas, the second paragraph of Ksubas, which we're going to come to in a few weeks, actually. So keep that thought. But I don't believe that it mentions anywhere there about Lelevia.
You know this. You can have a situation where you get a mother and a mother and a daughter and you get kids mixed up and it's hard to tell who's who.
Yeah.
But you think if this an avid Kanani and a koyin,
you could tell by looking at them. No, you can't always tell by looking at somebody or who they're.
Well, eventually when they grow up, they might have the same father.
Now, Tanya, we learned in a brisa. We learned in a brisa. Amar Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadik. Me yom elohi arati ela edus echad. I only ever testified once in one case in my life, and I mucked it up. The hellu evid l'kahuna alpi, and based on my testimony, because I didn't know what I was doing, they made an evid into a koyin. So the Gemara asks. So I guess he's pointing out that after that I decided I was never going to testify because I once bitten, that's it. Yes, hellu. So the Gemara says hellu salka daita. Could it be that Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadik would cause such a churva that they would end up having a koyin was not really a koyin. Hashtu behemtim shal tzadikim ena kosh baruch hu mitakala yodon. It's known the story with the donkey of Pinchas ben Yair. He wouldn't eat any stuff that wasn't usur. So therefore, we know that even the animals of tzadikim, God looks after them and they don't accidentally do averus. Even a donkey doesn't do an avera. Is tzadikim atzma lo kol shekein? So God should be looking after him and he wouldn't do an avera even by accident. So, or not an avera, but it wouldn't cause a takala, a destruction. Ela ema, so Zon said that they actually did it. But big shula halisev the kuna al pi, that he what he meant to say was that they were about to, they were going to listen to me and make this guy into a koyin. What was the story? How could Rabbi Elazar Shimon mess things up? Because what happened was chaza ba'asid Rabbi Yosi. He saw in the place of Rabbi Yosi them giving truma to this guy. In the place of Rabbi Yosi, they gave it to slaves without the master there. Yeah? Because they wouldn't accept that as evidence. But then what happened was, he came and testified in Rabbi Yehuda's place. And Rabbi Yehuda's place, they accepted that evidence as the fact that he's a Koyin. Yeah? So they were about to accept him. And obviously, before they finally made the final judgment, they just asked him, by the way, where was it that you saw it? And when he told them that it was in Rabbi Yosi's place, they said, hang on, in Rabbi Yosi's place, it's not valid evidence, because over there, they give it to slaves. So they didn't actually end up doing it. Okay, Tana Rabbanan and Rabbeisa, Asara Eichalka Lehem Truma Besagranis, the following 10 categories of people, you will not give them Truma in the granary. Ve'elu Hainan, and these are them. These are people who are mentally challenged. Yeah, either the cotton's a child, hasn't got full mental faculties. Tumtum vandragonis, because you're not really sure what they are. They're maybe male, maybe female. And we'll see in a minute what's wrong with that. So what, either way, why don't you give them a trauma? V'yo eved and a slave, like we've been talking about. V'yo isha and a woman. V'ha oral, this is a koyin who didn't have a bris milah because... let's say there's some kind of a family congenital illness situation where he had brothers who died because of the bris, so therefore once you have two, you don't try the third one. You just say, well, there's something wrong in the family, and you don't give him a bris. So he's Jewish and everything, but he's an oral, he's uncircumcised. V'ha-tomei, and even someone who's tomei, a kohen who's tomei. And the last one is Nisa Isha She'ena Hegenes Lo. If you have a kohen who married someone who he's not allowed to, a kohen who marries a divorcee and refuses to give her up, so we don't give him truma. Okay, so those are the 10 categories. The chulan and all of those categories, mishagri lehem levateyim. You can send them truma to their home. So you won't give it to them in the granary in public, but you can send it to their home because they're allowed to eat it. Yeah, so you could send it, but someone else has to be in charge of taking it. Chutz mitomei, except for the person who's tomei, v'noisa ina shoshena hegenesloi, and the one who married someone who is not allowed to. We'll see an explanation for all of these in a second. Says the Gemara, bishlam a chereshoyte v'katon. I understand why you don't want to give truma to a chereshoyte v'katon, because la b'nei deyaninu, because they haven't got. They haven't, because they are, you know, not fully competent, and therefore Rashi says it's a zilusa for the truma. It is not honorable for the truma to give it to somebody who's who doesn't have normal mental capacity and acts weird. Tumtum and Andragonus Nami, also the Tumtum and Andragonus. Tumtum and Andragonus are, you can't tell if they're male or female. They have some physical issues there, you can't tell. Is also Berya Bifnei Atzmaninu. He says because they are some third category androgynous, and therefore it is not covetic for the truma to give it to them. Eved, Nami, and also the slave, as we've been talking about, Dilma Asilasu Gimitrubal Yosin. If you give the slave, they might end up giving it as evidence it is a koyin. So that was all, that's obviously according to Rabbi Yehuda. Yeah, and Oral, with Tomei, why don't you give it to the uncircumcised or the Tomei Koyin? Mishum de Me'isi. Because they are, what's the word for Me'isi? They are, I would say disgusting, but it's a bit unfair on them to say disgusting, because they have an issue.
Repulsive,
that's what he says. Repulsive, okay. It's not nice to give truma to someone who's in that situation. And Anoisa Isha She'ena Hegenesle, the guy who married a divorcee and won't divorce her, is Mishum Knossa. That's a plain out penalty. You don't want to listen to the halacha, so we're penalizing you and you're not going to get any truma. So all of those 9 is understandable. Ella Isha, my time alloy. Mrs. Cohen comes and she wants to get the truma. What's wrong with giving it to Mrs. Cohen? She's in charge of the food in the house probably anyway. So why if
she give it to him?
Okay, and she's allowed to eat, she's allowed to eat it herself also. It's yeah, so ooh, you don't trust women? So it's not about trust, the Gemara says. Nice try. So they argue, a puppet of Hunabe Yeshua argue about what's the reason why you don't give it to the wife of the Kohen. Chadam Rishum Grusha, one says you were worried that one day he'll divorce her, and at that point she's not allowed to eat from anymore. And the guy, the giver outer, doesn't know that she's divorced, and he'll keep giving her even after she's not supposed to get it anymore. So therefore they decided, just don't give it to the woman altogether. The other one says it's the problem of yichud. If a woman comes there, sometimes there'll be the man by himself with his truma, and the woman turns up by herself to collect the truma, and they're there by themselves, and it's yichud, and who knows what could happen. Okay.
So if it's a bas koyein, because of yichud, you could say not to give, but because of the other one,
no, same problem. Yeah. She might get married, and then you won't know. So you probably extrapolate that as well. My benayu. So that was a good try for working out what would be a difference. But the Gemara asks the question that you were just asking. So what's the practical difference between these two opinions? Says the Gemara, Ike benayu be dori de mikrov
lama. She's a sentiment of trust because he would take it after she's divorced.
Okay. Could be trust, or it could be that she doesn't even know that she's not supposed to take it. Ika binayu, the difference will be a beidori de mikrov lemasav leshchicha b'hu inchi. If the place is close to the city, but there's not many people around there. So if it's close to the city, everybody would know that if she got divorced, everybody would know about it. Because, you know, when you're in town, you hear all the rumors, all the gossip, and everyone knows she's divorced. But if there's no people around, there could still be an issue of yichud. So that's one difference. Inami de merchak, if it's far away from the city, and shchicha b'inchi. and there are people around. So there's no problem of yichud because there's always lots of people around. But there is a problem because they're far away from town. They wouldn't have the gossip and they wouldn't know that she was divorced. Then the Braisa said, that you can send the truma to their houses. Those two, you don't send it to their house. But an oral, we do. Yeah, so you're distinguishing there between an oral and a tomei. You're saying that if he's uncircumcised, we can't send the truma to his house. But if he's tomei, we cannot send the truma to his house. What's the difference? My time, what's the reason why we say that you can't send the truma to the house of the guy who didn't have a bris, mishum da'onis, because it's not his fault. The reason why he didn't have a bris is because it's a medical danger. It's a health risk. Yeah, so therefore it's not his fault, and therefore let him have the truma. Just don't do it in public because it doesn't look nice, but send it to his house. Is Tomei Nami Ha'onis? What about the guy who's Tomei also? It's not his fault. He became Tomei. Sometimes it happens. So why can't you send the truma to him? So the Gemara answers, Hi, Nafishoin. The guy who didn't have a bris, it's a very big onus because it's Mamisha Sakonis Nefoshes. His brother's already died from having a bris. So it's a life-threatening danger, so therefore you say there's absolutely nothing he can do about it. But the guy became Tommy, he maybe didn't become Tommy on purpose, but if he could have been more careful, then maybe he wouldn't have become Tommy. So it's not as big an onus as the oral. And therefore, in his case, they said, nah, let's not give him Trum at all. But in the case of the oral, they said, we'll give it to him, but we'll send it to his house directly. The slave and the wife, we do not give them truma in the granary. In a place where we do, give it to the woman straight away and send her away. So first of all, you're contradicting yourself in this brisa. Number one, you said, don't give it to a woman. And then you said, and if you do, send her away. What do you mean, and if you do? You just said you can't, you said you're not allowed to. It's my karma, what does that mean? So he says, Hakikama, what he means to say is that generally, in most places, the deal is that you don't give it to the woman. You don't give it to the woman. But in a place where you do give stuff to the woman, what is that? Not truma, because you just said you're not allowed to give truma to the woman. Yeah? So what do you give to a woman? Maiser Oni. Let's say we're talking here about Maiser Oni. Maiser Oni, in the third and sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, there was a Meiser called Meiser Oni, which was basically tzedakah. Poor people would come, and you would take off, instead of Meiser Sheni, you would take a tenth of what was left after the Meiser and give them to the poor. So a woman can be poor just like a man. So the poor woman comes along, and she wants to get Meiser Oni. So then, Neisin Leisha Tchila. You give to the woman first. If there's a line of snorers, yeah, lined up, you give the tzedakah to the woman first. My time, what's the reason? Mishum zilusa, because it's more embarrassing and shameful for the woman to be in line, so don't make her stand in line too long, and just give her first.
It's always ladies before gentlemen.
Ladies, not always, not in halacha, but in this case it is. Yeah, as in LA, there was a woman, mishulach, standing outside the shul, collecting. Yeah, it was very interesting. Anyway, Amar Rava. Rava says, "May Reisha, before I learned this, is ki hava also gavra ve'itza ladina kamoi. If there would be two court cases coming to court for me to judge, one was a man and one was a woman. Hava sharina tigra de gavra bereisha. I would sort out the case, the argument with the man first." Why? Because I'm in the mechayiv mitzvahs. I thought, since the man is mechayiv in mitzvahs, I don't want to waste his time, because he's obligated in all these mitzvahs I say, he should go and learn. I don't want to waste time standing in line. So therefore, I thought I would take care of him first, so he'd go back to learning. But the woman, she's not mechayiv in mitzvahs, so therefore she's got more time on her hands. Kevin the Shemana Laha, once I heard this din, that you don't make the woman stand in line because it's more shameful, Sharina Tigra de Itza Bereisha, then I let the woman go to the front of the line. My time of Mishum Zilusa, because it's not, it's more embarrassing.
Well, the question I asked you about Maisa, is Mana Baisa could make a difference as to whether you can get to do the work
in the levies. Yeah.
Because there is, I think that Sugi deals with that issue about mailing for Yuchsin for Koyani, mailing Yuchsin for Levi.
Does it? Okay, could be. It's been 7 years since I learned it, so it could be right there. Okay. Higdilu ataruvus. Now, they grew up. This is something also that you mentioned yesterday, Moshe. You were way ahead of us. We talked about these two guys growing up, and we said they can't get married. The Kohen can't get married. Well, you can't marry a Yisraelis because maybe he's an Eved. He can't marry a Shivcha because maybe he's a Kohen. He doesn't know who he is. So they can't get married. So then what do we say? That if they grew up and they freed each other, then they can. Yeah. So the Gemara asks, Shichru, the Lashon is in like sort of b'di'evid. If they freed each other, then they can get married. So that implies that ibau ein iloi ba'u loi. If they want to, they can. If they don't want to, they don't have to. Vamai, why do we say that? Lisa shivcha in a yachol, they cannot marry a shivcha, and a baschevin in a yachol. So this is, as Rashi says, similar to that famous Mishnah about the guy who was half an Evid and half a Ben Chayrin. How does a person be half a slave and half a not slave? He had two masters who owned him as a partnership. One of them freed him and the other one didn't. So now he's half free and half not. So he cannot marry a Shivcha because he's half free, and he cannot marry a free woman because he's half an Evid. So the Mishnah says, so Beis Hillel just said, he serves one day. One day he serves the master, and the other day he's free. One day off, one day on. And Beis Shammai said, that's very nice for the master, because he gets his one day of work. What about him? He can't get married. Ella says, Beis Shammai, we force the other guy to free him. Yeah. And then Beis Hillel said, you know what, you're right. And they also changed to say that. So we said that by the din of the Chetzi Eved v'Chetzi Ben Chayrin. So why don't we say the same thing over here? Beis Din should force them to free each other so they can get married. Is Amar Rava, yes, let's edit the Mishnah. Ema, Kaifin Eisan, put in the extra words, yes, we force them, Umeshachar and Zeza, and they must free each other.
So what you're saying is that one of them is the Chayla Vaday and Eved.
Yes.
So if he does the Shikha first, has he actually done anything to being Meshachar, the other guy?
No, the other guy doesn't need to be Meshachar because he's a Kohen anyway. So it's just in case. Only one of them is a real shichur, but you don't know which one. So I'll just do a bit. Okay, Naisim Alav Chumras. So the Mishnah said that the general rule was you give them the Chumras of Kohenim and Yisraelim. Yeah? Now, what's a case? So that implies that there's a situation where in one case they'll have a Chumras of both. It's the Mai Hilchasa. So what is that case? And it's something, obviously, that the Mishnah didn't mention previously. Otherwise, you wouldn't need to mention this as a general rule. Is Amar Rav Papa, L'minchasam nikmetzes keminchas Yisrael, ve'eina necheles keminchas koinim. So the din is, when a Yisrael brings a korban mincha, flower offering, so the koin takes a handful out of that, which we call koimitz, and puts it on the mizbeach, and the rest of it, he eats. Yeah? That's the normal koyin. If a koyin himself brings a korban mincha, so there's a special din that a koyin's korban mincha, the whole thing goes on a mizbeach. Yeah. Now, what happens if he's maybe a koyin and maybe not? So you have to be machmir in both ways. So in order to make the mincha kosher, just in case he's a yisrael, you have to take the koimitz, because that's the thing that makes the korban kosher. Taking the koimitz and put on mizbeach. But just in case he's a Kohen, they're not allowed to eat the rest of it. Because if it's a mincha of a Kohen, the whole thing goes on the Mizbeach. So what do you do? HaKeitzar, HaKeimitz, Korev Ba'atzma. You take off the Kohenitz and put it on the Mizbeach by itself. Vashirayim, Krevim Ba'atzman. And the rest of the leftovers, you then put it on the Mizbeach also. Freddy Gemara, how can you put the leftovers on the Mizbeach? Ikri Kan, Kol Shemen, Le'ishim Re'ev Ba'asaktiru. We have a general rule that anything where you're supposed to take part of it and put it on the Mizbeach, the leftovers you're not allowed to put on the Mizbeach. So if it's a mincha of a Yisrael, and you took the koimitz and put on the Mizbeach, those leftovers, you're not allowed to put on the Mizbeach. You can't just say, I'm going to be strict and put on the Mizbeach. You're not allowed to. So you have the leftovers, and if he's a Kohen, you have to put on the Mizbeach. If he's a Yisrael, you're not allowed to put on the Mizbeach. So how can you tell me just to put it on? What are you going to do? Mizom Rav Yehuda, Breda, Shimon ben Pazi, Demasik Lahul Hashem Eitzim. When you put these leftovers on, you have it, it's a conditional. Yeah, what you're saying is, if it's the mincha of a Kohen, so it's supposed to go on the Mizbeach, so Shalom HaYisrael. If it's the mincha of a Yisrael, so therefore it's not supposed to go on the Mizbeach, treat it as fuel, firewood. Yeah, and I'm putting it on as firewood, not as a leftover mincha. How do I know I can do that? Rabbi Lazar. The Tanya, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Lazar says that this whole thing of kol shemen le'ishin, the pasuk says, lo yalu le'reach nichoyach. Reach nechayach means to accept the korban as a nice smell for Hashem. Is the reach nechayach yatamayla, aval atamayla shem it eitzim. You can't put it on al korban, the leftovers, yeah? But you can put it on just as fuel for the fire. So here also you can do that. So the Gemara says that's very nice according to Rabbi Lazar, who says that Hanich the Rabbi Lazar, the Rabbanim argue, the Rabbanim say that,
it looked like a
Kohen. It would look like a
Kohen.
Yeah, it would look like a Kohen.
It looked like it. In this case, you could.
No, but we don't. But usually in the Beis Hamidrash, we're not worried about what it looks like because in the Beis Hamidrash, the Kohenim know what's going on there. Yeah, but according to the Chachamim, they say that you can't do that. You can't make a fudge and say, "Oh, this leftover flour offering is a
well,
wood. Let's pretend it's firewood." So Michael Amema, so what are they gonna do? So the Gemara says that they do avid like Rabbi Lazar b'Reb Shimon. They will do like Rabbi Lazar b'Reb Shimon says. The Tanya Rabbi Lazar b'Reb Shimon Amer, Hakoime it's Karev La'atzma. According to them, Taka, you're right. And they won't put the leftovers on the Mizbeach. The Koimets will be put on the Mizbeach. So your yoitz of the carbon, according to no matter whose it is, Hashirai and the leftovers mispazim al besadeshin. Yeah, you won't put it on the so what do they say over there? Yeah, that you scatter it.
Scatter it on the
base of Deshin. So there, the question is there when you have it. That's if you. Mesa Deshin to the floor where the ashes go. So the original Bachloekes Rabbi Lezner Chachamim is in a case of a Minchas Choite. What's a Minchas Choite of a Koyin? There are certain types of Averis where a person is supposed to bring an animal as a korban if he did the Avera, but if he's too poor, then he can bring birds instead.
Over the yard,
exactly. And if he's even poorer than that, he could bring
flour.
So the flour, so what happens if the flour, if it's a Kohen who's poor, and he's bringing a flour offering, yeah? So then it's unclear, says Rabbi Lazar Shimon, whether that should be treated like a Minchas Kohen or not. So do you put the leftovers on the Mizbeach or not? So he says you scatter it on the Beis HaDeshen. So therefore he says that over there. But I feel the Rabbanan say, no, you don't do that. I feel the Rabbanan like pliga that the blazer of Minchas Chayte shall kohen him the basa kravahi. The Chachamim say you put it on the Mizbeach. Yeah, so the Chachamim only you argue with him about the Minchas Chayte because they're saying it's a normal Mincha, and therefore it's a kohen. You put it on Mizbeach. There's no suffix here, so put it on the Mizbeach. Aval hacha, but over here where it's a suffix, I feel the Rabbanan might, the Rabbanan will agree that that's the solution. So in other words, everyone agrees that if you had a case of a suffix, you put it on the Beis HaDeshen, you scatter it on the floor there. Yeah, over there the Rabbanim argue because they say there's no suffix. But if there would be a suffix, they would agree. So here, where everyone says knows it's a suffix, whether he's a kohen or not, so you scatter it on the Beis HaDesh. Okay, new Mishnah. Mishnah leishasa achabayla shleisha chadashim. A woman didn't wait 3 months after her husband, let's say the husband, he died, whatever it was, or he divorced her. So she was married to Reuven. And less than 3 months after she finished being married to Reuven, she then married Shimon. The nisus, she got married. The yoldan, she has a child. The en yadua im ben tishal arishon im ben shival achren. She has a child after 7 months. You don't know whether it was a full-term 9-month baby and the father was the first husband, or it was a premature baby that belonged to the second husband. Is it, so what happens then regarding Yibum and Chalitza and all that jazz? Hayula boni min harishon boni min hasheni. Let's say there are other brothers who do know the father, yeah? So there's brothers from the first father and there's brothers from the second father. Is chaltzim lo b'yabin. Everyone has to do Chalitza. There cannot be Yibum here because no one knows which one is the brother. And therefore, if it's the wrong one, you'd end up with a Yivom al-Ashuk. V'chein hu lahem, and similarly, if they married and died, he can only do chalitza, he can't do yibum. Cholitz v'loy miyabim. Turn the page.
DNA solves a lot of problems.
Yeah, DNA. Oh, well, I didn't have it in that. I would have chopped that half to myself. Like that's over here. I can't. Well, probably can't. Hayolai achim in arishain. Okay, well, they didn't know. Hayolai achim in arishain. Let's say there were brothers from the first one, Va'achim in Asheni, and brothers from both fathers, Shalom Eosia Aim. But they had different mothers. Now, so now the situation is that either they're his brother or they're completely unrelated because they don't have the same mother, rather. Yeah? In the case where they had the same mother and not the same, but maybe the same father, maybe not, they can't do Yibum because it might be Ashes. It might be Eishes Achiv Mayimoy, right? Because they had the same mother. But in the case where they're not the same father nor the same mother, then they can do it. As long as the one who's the real brother does chalitza first, then either he's doing yibum or he's just marrying an unrelated woman. So therefore, therefore, either way, they can do yibum as long as someone does chalitza first, just to make sure there's no yivam on the shuk. What happens if one of the fathers was a Yisrael and one was a Koyin? Is Noisa Ishra Ruila Koyin? So this guy is maybe a Koyin, maybe Yisrael.
She's got children from both the first and the second. Are we saying that? So where's the issue of Yibum come into it? Because in other words, this is it the second husband who dies? So who
No, the kid dies. The kid gets married dies with no kids. Yeah, so the brothers have to do Yibum, yeah. One of the fathers was a Yisrael, one was a Koyin. Is Neisa Isha Ru'il a Koyin? Because he's a Suffolk Koyin, he has to marry only a woman that a Koyin is allowed to marry. The Eimetam of the is not allowed to become Tomei Meis, Vim Nitma, but if he did, any Sefigas Raboyim, we're not going to give him Malkus. Eni Echel Betruma, he's not allowed to eat Truma, Vimachal Eni Mishalan Kevachemish, if he did eat Truma, he doesn't have to pay it back because maybe he is a Koyin. Vieina Chelak Ala Goyim, we will not give him a portion on the granary because maybe he's not a Koyin. Umaycher Atruma Vadomish Aloy, when he grows his own produce, he can take the Truma and sell it and keep the money because he can say, from a financial perspective, he can say, prove that I'm not a Koyin, otherwise I'm keeping the money. This is all the same stuff we said in the last Mishnah. We don't give him a portion in the Karbonis. And they don't give him even his own carbon. We don't give him. But if he has it, then we don't make him give it away. You can't take it away from him because he can say, prove that I'm not a Koyin. He does not need to take these other matnes kahuna that you take from a normal animal of chulin, the cheek and the arm and the stomach. He doesn't have to give. If he has a firstborn animal born in his flock, he doesn't need to give it to a Koyan to bring it to carbon. He can wait until it gets a mum and he can keep it himself. And he also has the same thing about the Chumre Koyanim and Chumre Yisraelim, which we just said before, talks about the case of the Korban Mincha. He is exactly in the same position as being a Safik Koyan, Safik Yisrael. Now, Hayishneim Koyanim. Here we have some more stuff. What happens if both of the fathers were Koyanim? Yeah? So he's definitely a Koyan. Is who Oinan Alayim? So he's definitely a Koyan. He's allowed to do a work in the Beis Hamikdash. But an Oinan, a Koyan whose father just died this day, is not allowed to do work in the Beis Hamikdash. So he has to observe that for both of them. Whichever one died, he has to observe the fact that he's an Oinan and he can't do any work in the Beis Hamikdash. The Hain Oinanim Alav. And similarly, when he dies, both of them have to treat themselves as Oinonim and not work in the Beis HaMikdash. So Gemara is going to ask, how can it be that both of them died when one of them was already dead before? Otherwise, how did she marry the second one? No, but they're Koyanim.
Yeah.
If the father's a Koyan, he can't marry this woman. The second one's a Koyan, he couldn't marry if it was divorced. It has to be a widow. So if it's a widow, that means the first one's dead. So the Gemara is going to discuss that. A few options. Who einem etam olahem? He's not allowed to become tomei meis for them. V'hein einem etam loy, because they don't know that they're related, so they can't be tomei nesafik. Who einem yovish esam? He doesn't inherit from them. Avolheim yoshim moisoy, but they will inherit him 50-50. He doesn't inherit them because the son, the real sons, the known sons of each one, will tell him, get lost. You don't get a chelik with us. You're a son of the other guy, and they keep pushing him back and forth, and he doesn't get anything. But in the case where he died, somebody has to get it, and there isn't anybody else. So the two fathers just split it. So that's Heim Yoshe Moisoy. Upotter Rav HaKosev HaKilos Yisholzeh Vishalzeh. He will not get punished for hitting either of them or for cursing either of them because it's a suffix whether that's his father or not. Oile Mishmar Yisholzeh Vishalzeh. He can work in the Mishmar of either one of them. He can go and do the work in the Beis HaMikdash. Ve'ein Echelik, but he doesn't get the stuff that's divided up to all the Koyanim in the Mishmar, he does not get with either one because he can't prove that he belongs there. But im hayu shneim b'mishmar echad neitel chelek echad, if they were both in the same Mishmar, so they both have the turn to be Koyan on the same week, that he's definitely in that week, then he gets a chelek in there as well. All right, we'll leave it over.